Appreciate being here again today. It's a privilege to be here to see each one of you again. Trust that each one is encouraged today. And know that the Lord loves you, cares about you, calls your name. Yes. He's a personal God. He's an alive God. And He has a real vested interest in you.
Yes,
I appreciate that.
Yes, indeed.
I feel inspired with this message this morning. I don't know who it's for, may not be for everybody, but I feel inspired to sow this seed, and if you're ripe for this, then I trust the Lord will bless it, and if not today, maybe it'll be there for another time. I've written on the board, believe because He is God. I'd like to ask an initial question, pose it for your consideration this morning, and that is, what establishes your faith today? What is it that causes you today to follow after Jesus Christ? What is it that causes you to believe into Him and make decisions that sometimes and oftentimes cause us to separate ourselves from other alternatives that we know might bring some satisfaction? History is made so clear. You look back over time and indeed present day circumstances confirm that Christians go through times of great trial. And sometimes we meet affliction in our lives. And unless we are grounded and have a strong foundational belief in Jesus Christ for the right reasons and with the right perspective, we become vulnerable to the stumbling blocks that the enemy would put in front of us. Discouragement,
yes.
Loss of faith,
yes.
Spiritual disillusionment.
Yes.
Have you ever been there? If you're discouraged today, if somebody's here and your faith feels like it's at a low ebb, and perhaps the merits of spiritual things seem uncertain in your mind, I'd ask that you pay close attention to this message that I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart to give this morning. I'd like to notice the passage out of the 6th chapter of John. Desire and interest in your prayers. Start at the 26th verse. And Jesus was speaking to a people. As you're looking for that verse, give a quick background. The Lord, a day or two ago, had just performed the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. And there were many people on that hillside, as you know. And the Lord had just made, if you will, a quiet escape from the multitudes. And He went apart, and now the multitudes had caught up to Jesus. And they found Him. And we're going to pick up there. And it said, and Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, ye seek Me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. You ever thought about that verse? It's a really eye-opening verse. Really incredible in some ways. The Lord was telling these people here, He told them, He said, you're seeking Me not so much because of the miracles that you've seen Me do, but you're seeking Me because your belly was filled up. You're seeking Me because the miracle that I did actually satisfied a physical desire that you had. Not so much a spiritual need, but it was a physical need. And that's the reason why you're here today. That's why you're seeking Me. And I don't know, from my perspective here this morning, I look at it and you would think that the miracles of Jesus alone would have caused the people to come seeking Him, wouldn't you?
Yes, it would.
And they did.
Yes.
I mean, there were a lot of people that sought Jesus because the Scripture tells us they wanted to see a miracle. And there were people in high places that would call Jesus and kind of put him on trial and get some face time with him because they had heard about the miracles and they wanted to see a miracle too. But in this instance, and in this case, the Lord discerned that there was something else that was going on. And he said, you're not just here because you want to see a miracle performed for a miracle's sake. But you're here because the other day your bellies were filled with the loaves and the fishes. And I'll pause a minute and say this. You know, in the Old Covenant, under the Old Covenant, that's how God was manifested. God was manifested in physical, tangible ways that people could see with their eyes. Right? He parted the waters and people saw that.
Yep.
They struck the rock and water came out of the rock. Well, I've never seen that happen before just like that. He sent manna from the heavens and they were able to eat of it. And they crossed the river into the Canaan land that spread apart on its own accord, and they saw that. And they went over into the Canaan land and they saw the walls of Jericho fall on their own accord.
Yes.
By the power of God. In the old law, the Jews were accustomed to seeing the Lord manifested in physical, tangible ways.
Yes.
But did you know in the new covenant, Jesus came to bring something that was more than just what our eyes may see. The new covenant brought with it grace, and it brought with it salvation and a changed heart and changed purpose. And the Lord came because He wanted to help cause the walls, the spiritual strongholds in our lives to be broken down. And He wanted to have a personal relationship with you and your hearts.
Yes.
He wanted to be able to speak to you. He wanted you to hear His voice.
Yes.
He wanted you to be able to feel the touch of His hand and the call of His voice and the comfort of His love that came with the new covenant.
Yes.
And I believe that the Lord saw an opportunity in this case to use this as a teaching moment. Not just for them, but for us too. And so He said, look, labor not. Labor not for the meat that perisheth, in the 27th verse, but for the meat which endureth in the upper everlasting life, which the Son of Man hath given unto you. Labor not for the meat that perisheth. So I have questions for Him. What are you laboring for in life?
Eternal life.
That's good. What is it that we're seeking for in life? What are we spending our time and our energy and our thought process, the spare time that we have, how do we use it? What rises to the top of our list in life? Are they things that tend to be everlasting things? Or sometimes do we find ourselves with a disproportionate amount of our time wrapped up and spent in those things that are temporal and that are going to pass away? I've been there. I find myself there sometimes. Do you? I know we do sometimes. And the Lord came along and He says, labor not just for the things that are going to perish, but labor for things that have to do with eternal life. And I'd like to bring the question even closer home this morning and ask it this way. What are you following Jesus for in this life? I know we all want heaven, right? We all believe that we need to follow the Lord, that we might get to the end of the way and hear those words, "Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." But what do you expect from Jesus Christ in your life, in this world? And in this earth, what are our prayers made up of? What kind of requests make up the majority of the prayers that we bring before the Lord. I'm going to self-disclose a little bit this morning. I have a lot of prayers for temporal things. Don't you?
Yes.
I pray for things. Lord, I have a need in my body. Lord, I'm not feeling good. Lord, I've got a rough day at work tomorrow and I need help. We have a lot of needs, and the Lord invites us to bring those before His throne because He cares.
Yes, thank the Lord.
But the Lord also cares. And He wants us to get such a vision of what He came to do for us in our souls. The Lord has a soul peace that He wants you to have. The Lord wants you to have something in your hearts that goes beyond just the things that are going to eventually pass away, because this world's going to pass away. There's nothing going to be left of it. What then? Where will we be then?
Yes.
What will our faith be founded on? Is our faith today? Are we following the Lord just because of the loaves and the fishes? Are our prayers made up? Lord, would You hear my prayer? And is it all about things that are going to pass away? Or have we got a vision of, Lord, You have something for me in my soul and in my heart. Lord, I'm going to believe on You regardless of how full my belly feels, because you know what? Life is going to bring times where we're hungry.
Yes.
The Lord never promised us that we're going to go through life where we don't ever feel physical hunger or pain or affliction or trials. Those things are going to be there for Christians. And as an aside, your sorrows will be multiplied if you're not following Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Don't ever let the enemy tell you that, well, this is the way of trial. You go to the other. That's a lie of the enemy.
Yes, it is.
But I will say this. The Lord never promised a bed of roses for Christians. He didn't walk it. His disciples didn't walk it. Men of old that were Christians didn't walk it. And we are going to have to come to terms with the fact that there are going to be places in life that are rough and they're difficult, that where the way is dark and we don't understand and we can't see and we can't make sense of it. And we go to bed and we pray to the Lord about these things, and perhaps we never get a real seeming answer to our prayer where our eyes are opened to all of the reasons. There's going to be times that we're tempted with difficult things, and the enemy can come along and take advantage of us in those areas. The Lord wants us to be able to partake of His new covenant promised to us, that I have grace and I have help for you, and I want to come do something for your soul, and I want to give you victory over sin, and I want you to believe in me regardless. I want you to believe in me, and I want you to follow me. I want you to seek me whether or not there are more loaves and fishes. The Lord wants our faith to be grounded in Him whether or not we physically feel good, whether or not all of our temporal needs seem to be met. The Lord told these people, He said, look, you're seeking me and you're following me not because of the miracles, but because of the loaves and the fishes. May God help us get a hold of this very important thought.
Yes.
God wants our faith to be established in Him because He is God.
Yes, that's
He's already done enough for us to say, yes, Lord, I will believe in You. I will serve You. I will trust You regardless of what I feel. I'm still God. I'm still on my throne. I'm still working. There is a more sure word of prophecy. I was foretold. It all came true. Have you walked outside in the night sky lately and looked up at the stars?
Yes, I have.
You want your faith to be increased? Go out there on a clear night and look up. Did you know that we're looking at the same Big Dipper that they did hundreds of thousands of years ago? How does that happen? We go outside and we're standing on an earth that is spinning one full revolution every 24 hours. It's about 25,000 miles around the circumference. And as we sit here today, did you know we're spinning pretty fast? And every single day, this earth rotates one time and the sun seems to come up and it seems to go down. Yet the sun is sitting out there in space providing us with the warmth that we need, the light that we need. And we, 24 hours a day, the earth is spinning around its own orbit, its own axis, as we look at the sun come and go. And in the meantime, the earth is orbiting around the sun in a non-centric manner. In other words, we're not always the same distance from the sun. And we have seasons because of it.
Yes.
It's warmer sometimes and it's colder some other times. And the Lord has made a way for a time to plant and a time to harvest. And we have a moon that's orbiting around its own axis about once every 27 days. And it goes around the earth about once every 27 days. And the earth and the moon are both going around the sun. Did this all just happen? And it's all still there, perfectly in place? And we haven't even touched on the plant life, the plants that grow, the fruits, the vegetables, the meat, the waters, the ocean, the evaporation, and the clouds that are formed, and the rain that's purified, and the rivers. And sometimes we ask the question, is there a God? Is He real? Is He still alive? He's still alive.
Yes, He is.
We serve a God who still is holding everything in control. And the Lord today wants us to look out and have our eyes opened to see the wondrous works of God that are happening every single day and believe in Him.
Amen.
Because He's God. Because He is. He's still on His throne. He's still working. He still knows. He still cares. And He wants our faith to be so deep-seated and deep-rooted down in Him that whatever comes our way, we will continue to seek Him. Well, the people came along and they heard what He said and they said, well, what shall we do then that we might work the works of God? Well, we hear what you're saying, Master. Well, okay, we shouldn't labor for just the meat that perishes, but so what shall we do that we do the works of God? Listen to what Jesus said. He said, this is the work of God that ye believe. Did you get that?
Yes.
He could have said so much. What do we as humans do? We go to somebody else and say, what do I need to do the works of God? And we're ready to pull out a red rider, a yellow pad with about three pens, because it's going to take a while, and we're going to write down all the things that we're supposed to do in life. You want to be a Christian? You want to serve the Lord? You need to do this and this and this and this, and pretty soon our head's spinning and our eyes are crossed, and we're looking at it and it seems impossible, and we miss. And yet the Lord is so good. He can distill down in such simplest terms what it is He wants us to do. Well, the work of the Lord? You want to do the work of God? Jesus said, I'll tell you what the work of God is. Believe in Him.
Yes.
He didn't say works. And says, now one of the works is to believe in Him. The other one is that you do this and this. The Lord wants us to believe in Him regardless.
Yes, He does.
And when we get a hold of that kind of faith, the works are going to follow. It's going to come out for the right reasons. It's going to be manifested because of the faith and the belief that we have in our hearts and in our souls. The Lord doesn't want to come along and see us as a tree and look at the fruit that's hanging there only to find out that we taped it onto the branches. Who wants to eat a cherry that's been tie-wrapped to a tree? I'm not interested in that. You look around a while and you say, what kind of tree is this? This cherry didn't come from this tree. Who duct taped this apple onto the tree? You got the fruit. It's hanging there. But it didn't come from the roots. It didn't come from a faith that went further than just the work's sake. And so Jesus, in such a profound manner, they said, well, then what shall we do? He said, believe. That's all. Believe. Believe on Him. Believe in Him. Regardless. Have your eyes open. He's God. Just believe on Him. Accept who He is. Because of what He's already done. Lord, help us.
Yes, amen.
Well, they went on and they said unto Him, they couldn't help themselves. They said, well, what sign show us then? See, what sign do you have to show us that you're God? Because our fathers, well, they ate manna that came out from heaven. And I like this. The Lord answered their question. And first He said, all right, by the way, let's get this first. And I'm kind of paraphrasing in my own terms. But verily, verily, let's get this straight. It wasn't Moses that gave you the manna first. You all think that it was Moses that gave you the manna. First of all, it wasn't Moses that gave you the manna.
No.
That was manna that came from above.
Yes, thank the Lord.
It came from the power that I am coming to testify to you about. That I want you to get a hold of. That's where the manna came from. It didn't come from Moses. And then he went on and He told them. He said, for the bread of God is which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Thank the Lord for that.
Yes, amen.
That gives life unto the world. And what did they say? They said, then said they unto them, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Lord, we want that alive bread. Lord, we want the bread that comes down from heaven. Lord, let me be cleansed from my sin today. Lord, help me to be filled by Your Holy Spirit. Lord, would You open my eyes that I might be able to get a vision of spiritual things. Lord, would You touch my heart in a personal way that I am a changed person. Lord, that my faith is rooted and grounded in You because You are God. Lord, help me to live my life so that my purpose is to do the will of the Father which is in heaven in a manner that supersedes the loaves and the fishes. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Thank the Lord. The Lord's saying, I'm life. I'm your maker. I'm the creator. I'm God. I care about you. I am your all in all. And I invite you to come and partake of the manna that comes from heaven.
Yes, indeed.
What are you searching for today? Did you know that the enemy is doing everything he can to try to hurt our faith? The Lord, the enemy tries to get us to forget about what the Lord has already done. To forget about what He is doing. The enemy is trying to poke away at our faith and point to things and get us distracted. And the Lord's coming along and He's saying, I've got something for you. I want you to take your eyes off of those things that are so temporal. And I want you to be willing to focus in on some of the spiritual meat that I have for you. I want that to be my testimony.
Yes, indeed.
What was it that He told Thomas? Didn't Thomas say, well, if I've got to see Him to believe. Except I thrust my hand in His side, I'm not going to believe. And the Lord showed up and Thomas, he saw the Lord. And Jesus said, Thomas, blessed are they. He said, you see and believe, but blessed are they which don't see and yet believe. How strong is your belief today? Is it strong enough to cause you to live your life and give it to the Lord for the good of the work of the Lord rather than all of the loaves and fishes that we can become so fixated on? May God help us. The enemy came to the Lord one time and he said, "This servant Job over here," he said, "well, will your servant serve you for naught?" And he did.
Yes.
Resoundingly, he did. Don't you want that to be the testimony of your life today? I want that to be the testimony of my life. Lord, open my eyes that I might see these things. And he said in the 38th verse, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me." If the work of Jesus Christ is to do the will of the Father, and we are invited to be followers of Christ, then what should our will be about? Ourselves? The loaves and the fishes? It should be about the will of the Father, shouldn't it? And the enemy tries to come along. We live in such a me generation, don't we? I don't know if there's ever been a generation that was different than that. But we're so focused on ourselves. And we can always so quickly get pulled into the thinking that God's plan is all about me too. Just in this life, my temporal needs. And yet God has a plan that is so much bigger than I am. It's so much bigger than you are. And the Lord wants to come along and He wants us to trust Him so that we'll say, "Lord, I'll follow You regardless of whether or not I can see the end. Lord, I'm willing to make some sacrifices here because I'm trusting in Your will, because You see things that I don't see. Lord, Your work is so much above mine. Lord, I'm going to believe You because You are God." Well, what is the will of God? It comes out here. It said, "And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life." The will of the Lord is that none of us would perish.
Yes.
The will of the Lord is that all would come to repentance. The will of the Lord is that we would all make heaven.
Yes.
The will of the Lord is that I would believe in Him because He's God. And that I would seek Him and follow Him because of what He wants to do in the lives of others spiritually for eternal good and eternal gain. And He wants me to believe regardless. And I want to say this before we close this morning. God does care about your temporal needs.
Yes, He does.
He showed that over and over again.
Yes.
The Lord cried with the people, even when He had the ability to change the situation real quick. What are we as humans likely to do? We see somebody in pain and hurt, and when we know that we have the ability to change it, do we take time first to weep with the person and to think about the trial that they're going through? You know, often we're ready to do. We got a solution. We got a fix. Let me get you out of the problem. And then everything can be okay. The Lord had the wherewithal to do that, but He cared enough to cry with the people for a while when Lazarus died. He came by and He saw the people mourning, and He mourned with them because He cared. The Lord cares about you today.
Yes, He does.
If your prayers don't seem to be answered as you're praying, be rest assured this morning that you're not forgotten. God's not absent. He's still a real God. He still cares. The Lord, He still knows. And when our testing comes in those times of affliction and those times where our faith is at a low ebb, doesn't mean you're not saved, by the way. Did you know that John the Baptist had some questions?
Yes.
John the Baptist, when he was in prison, the one who baptized Jesus Christ, got in a hard place and he said, could you go ask him if he's really the one that we should be following after? Is he really the Messiah? Would you go ask him? John the Baptist. Did you know there's going to come times in our lives where our faith is going to be challenged? And there's going to be times when temporally, physically, things aren't going to go the way that we would just plan out in life. The Lord sent word back to John and He said, tell him and remind him, the blind receive their sight, the lame are walking again. Remind him what I've already done. Folks, the Lord cares about our temporal needs, but He also wants us to have a faith in Him that when we get in the most difficult places, that we'll be in there for the Lord.
Yes.
The Lord asked, whom shall I send and who will go with me? The Lord's asking for a people, Lord, a people that would say, Lord, I'll follow you even when I don't understand. Who will go a little farther for me? Who will go when you don't understand? Who will go when it looks a little bit rough? Who will go when it doesn't look like your prayers are being answered? The Lord's eyes are going to and fro across the face of the whole earth to do good unto them that are trusting Him.
Yes, they are.
God has us in His hand. He's got His hand on the thermostat. He's not going to let us go through things that are too hard for us to go through. He's all about doing a work in our lives and in the lives of others that we might hear those words, well done, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And sometimes we have to go through hardship for the sake of somebody else that we may know nothing about. And we're saying, Lord, why won't you answer my prayer? And the Lord's saying, trust me with my timing. I understand timing. This is God saying this. Saints, I understand timing. I keep the world spinning just right. I hold space in my hands. The timing is perfect. It's never been off. It's always right on time. You orbit the sun as you've always had. The earth spins like you always have. I understand time. Trust me with my power and my sovereignty. And I'm omniscient. I'm God. And the Lord's just asking us to trust Him with that. This morning, I want my testimony to be, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, when I'm hungry, and when I don't feel good, and when I don't understand, may God help us to lift up our eyes unto the hills from which cometh our help. For our help cometh from the Lord which made the heavens and the earth. I want to be a dependable servant of the Lord that is willing to seek Him and follow Him regardless of what happens in this life and believe in Him because He is God. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.